you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, we're back with the podcast episode. I guess we can call it 2.5, Carson Daly, Rory McIlroy. And I guess, well, first of all, let me just say, players champ Rory McIlroy. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, nice little win there. It, obviously, you inspired me during our pro-am at Bay Hill.
Yeah, I was a constant reminder of what not to do when you swing. But, buddy, I got to say, in full transparency for this podcast, you know, we've just started doing it. You and I recorded two episodes there at Bay Hill. And then, being the good luck charm that I am in your life now, you went and won the damn thing. So what I want to do is just kind of wrap out with you a little bit about players, and then we'll kind of resume episode two as we originally did it, because we got some great stuff talking about Augusta. We talked a lot about music and Kenny G, so we're going to get to all of that in the next 30 minutes. But just give me just a little bit here at the top about how you're feeling right now and what that win was like when you sunk that short putt on 18 to shore it up.
Yeah, oh, it was awesome. I mean, you know, I've had arguably the best start to a year that I've had in my career. You know, I went through all my stats a few days ago, and you know, every aspect of my game is in a really good place, and I knew that going into the Players. So, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, keep doing what I'm doing, keep knocking on the door, giving myself opportunities. You know, and if you know, it was so tight on Sunday. There were so many people that could have won. You know, there was eight guys tied for the lead at one point, I think. And to win in that fashion, to come through and you know, come out of a group like that and to win, you know, honestly, on a golf course that I've had my challenges on in the past, it was obviously really satisfying. But it's you know, I kept saying then it was a step in the right direction. You know, hopefully this is just the start. I'm feeling really good about everything, and it's just onwards and upwards.
And I'll tell you what, I've known you a short time, but I really get this, like, overall, almost bigger than golf, sense of kind of where you're at in life. That, you know, I know there's been like some things happening on the weekends. It's been hard to close. You probably hear the noise about people. You know, going back to the Players, you bogeyed 14. Furyk comes in 15 under. You're 4 or 5 holes behind him. Part of you could have gone that old route of like, oh, crap, here we go again. Bogey 14, Sunday. But you come back strong with birdies at 15 and 16. Walk me through the final 4 or 5 holes and how you were able to just close the deal.
Yeah, so I think it even goes back further. I was over my tee shot on 12, and I hear this roar from 17, and I was like, oh, you know, it sounds like someone could have made a one. So I hit my, I backed off my tee shot, hit my tee shot down there, and I asked Bones, Jim Mackay, who was our on-course commentator walking with us, did someone just make a one on 17? And he said, no, that was Eddie Pepperell. He just made a bomb on 17. I said, oh, that's cool. Like, Eddie's a nice guy, and I'm happy for him. I had no idea where he was in the tournament. I looked at the leaderboard on the 12th green. I was like, oh, shit, Eddie's at 14 under par.
He's right there.
He was right there. So I think birdieing 12, I made a good putt on 12 to get to 15 under at that point. So that was a big one. And then, as you said, the last few holes, I bogey 14. And at that point, I didn't know what Jim Furyk was doing up ahead of me. You know, I heard that he'd hit a good shot into 17, but I didn't know what the result was. And then once I was walking up to the 15th green, I saw that he had posted 15 under par. So I knew I needed to, I had a good birdie look on 15 at that point. I knew I needed to birdie 2 of the last 4 holes to win. And you know, I think there were so many great shots, and people will talk about the drive on 18 and, you know, the how I played the last hole. But honestly, I think that the birdie putt on 15 was as important as any of them, because, you know, I don't make that putt and all of a sudden I have to birdie two of the last three. You know, yes, 16's an easy par five and you should birdie it, but, you know, to have to go, you know, either 3-3 on 17, 18 or 2-4, you know, that's a, you know, that's a tough ask. So, you know, the putt on 15, especially after the short par miss on 14, you know, that was huge.
Yeah, it was fun to watch as a fan, because I think we were all saying, like, that was it. When you hit the putt on 15, knowing what Furyk had done, knowing you had 16 ahead, it was like, wow, this is Rory is, you know, it's funny because you sent me the shoes and you did a lot of social media with these shoes, these Nike golden shoes. And I guess it's because the players have this golden, like, trophy. It was in conjunction with that. But, like, there was something really magical happening. When you made the putt on 18, you knew you had won. You're the players' champion. You're off to the best start, arguably, you've ever had. A couple weeks away from the Masters. Like, just walk us fans through. I saw you give Sean a big hug, your guy, before you went into the clubhouse. What happens after that? Like, when do you see your wife? What does it feel like? Do you have a moment alone? And what did you do that night?
Yeah, so, you know, it felt good. It, you know, to me, walking off the 18th green, it felt like validation of, you know, what I'm doing is I'm on the right path. I made a couple of tough decisions at the start of the year to concentrate in the United States and not play overseas. And I feel like that, it validated, it vindicated my decisions. So, you know, if anything, it was, yes, look, awesome. I won a golf tournament. I won the Players. I'm the Players champion. But, you know, it was just validation that, you know, what I'm doing is the right thing. So, yeah, look, you know, to have my best buddy Harry on the bag to celebrate like that with him. And then, you know, I get in there, I sign my card. And I honestly didn't see Erica until probably like 20 minutes after. I sort of said to Sean, where's Erica? Where is she? But she finally turned up out of somewhere.
That was nice of her.
So that was nice of her. But yeah, it was, you know, to be able to celebrate, you know, I have a pretty tight sort of small knit team. And then, you know, the stuff that people don't see after that, obviously you've got the prize ceremony. But then after that, I had to do probably 2 hours of media. I had to go into the clubhouse and give the three partners of the Players' Championship a little bit of my time. So I probably didn't leave Sawgrass until after 9 p.m. that night. But I had a really nice moment in the locker room with Erica, with Harry, with Sean. And we all were sitting there. We had a glass of wine. We just sort of... Yeah. Exactly. Cheers. And that was really nice. And that was, they're the moments that you remember and you cherish, and, you know, you reflect back on the entire week. And honestly, it's exhausting. You know, like I teed off at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, but I was probably up since I was up at 7, you know, doing my warm up in the gym, go to the golf course, do all that stuff, you know, and then you're not walking out of there until after 9. So it's a 14-hour day. So at that point, you just want to get back, take a shower, you know, maybe have a couple of drinks to celebrate. But, like, you know, I slept like a baby that night.
Yeah, I bet you did. How does this set you up for the rest of the year? I know you're in Austin now for the match play. Did you get your matchup?
Yeah. So I've got Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Harding, and Luke List. So I played.
How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, good. So I don't really know. I know Luke a little bit, but I've never met Justin, and I know Matt Fitzpatrick pretty well. We actually played together in the final group at Bay Hill a couple weeks ago. So, you know, that'll be nice to we're playing. Matt and I are playing in a third match on Friday, and I said to him, well, we better win our first two matches so we have something to play for on Friday. So
exactly.
We tried to make a little deal with that, but yeah, it's good. Look, match play, it's a cool format. We don't get to play it very often, so, you know, it's nice to mix it up every once in a while.
I think they refer to it as, like, you know, the PGA Tour's March Madness sort of thing because of the whole... Have you been watching any... Did you make a bracket?
I didn't, but I think, like everyone else, my bracket would have been busted a long time ago. It's just, you know, March Madness...
Do you care? Have you been watching... You know, Duke almost lost the other night.
I know.
Upset. Do you,
Yeah. So yeah, I think with all the hype around Zion and stuff, you have to tune in and watch. And I mean, you're guaranteed to see a couple of pretty cool moments with him anyway, you know, whether Duke win or lose. But yeah, so I've sort of, you know, now the Sweet 16's here, I think it's, you know, people will really start to really take notice. And yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure.
You know, I want to ask you, did you see the Kevin Na Tiger moment on 17, the putting moment? It was, I watched it just sitting in my man cave at my house in Long Island, and I thought about you, and I just wondered what your thoughts were. You know that I've known Tiger. We grew up together in Southern California. I've known that guy literally my entire life.
Yeah.
And I've played many rounds of golf. I've never seen him in a PGA event, and I know he's friends. And for those listening who didn't see the moment, I'm sure you did. Kevin Na knocks a knee knocker in on 17 and quickly goes and picks it up as soon as it hits the bottom of the cup. Tiger's has a little cleanup and sort of does the same thing. And then they have a big laugh. Have you ever seen Tiger that jovial?
You know, I think since Tiger's comeback, you know, he's really started to show a different side to himself. And I think he's just so appreciative that he's out here, you know, because look, I remember having lunch with him 2 years ago and him saying to me, look, Rory, I might have played my last competitive round of golf, you know, and he had come to terms with that fact. And then for him to do what he's done, people don't give him enough credit. I mean, you know, the surgeries, what he's had to go through. I mean, I've seen that guy struggling to get up off his, you know, out of his chair. For him to win again on tour and do that, I think he's just enjoying it so much more because he realizes that, you know, maybe he didn't enjoy it or appreciate it enough the first time around. And now that he's sort of got this second bonus chance, you know, he's really appreciative of this opportunity. And, you know, he's definitely showing a different side to himself, which I think is awesome for the game and for him.
When you're firing on all cylinders, like you seem to be right now, right here, right now, I don't know what happened with the match play. Do you think you're the best player in the world?
Yes. Yeah, I think when I've got everything firing on all cylinders, you know, I believe that I could go up against anyone and beat them.
I mean, I saw the stat on putting, first of all, was 4 to 8 feet. You know, you were like right up in the like top of the list. The bunker shots you hit at Bay Hill, or the players rather, was the irons. I mean, the drives, I know there was talk about. Did you have a comment on the was there people asking about the aggressive nature of 18 and like what was the deal with that?
Yeah, so
what did they want you to do? Hit 5 iron down the right?
I know. My mindset on 18 was, do I want to have to play one difficult shot or do I have to play two? Because if I take an iron or a fairway wood off the tee, I'm going to be left with a very difficult second shot in as well. So why not hit the driver? Just make it one difficult shot. And then, you know, I only had an 8 iron in. You know, I'm pretty sure I can make par from there. And even my thing as well, the pin was front left. Even if I bail out right into those trees, I can chip it out and wedge it on there close and make four that way. So I felt like it was the only play. People were sort of, you know, I saw the coverage after and Zinger was sort of, you know, questioning it on air and stuff. But I thought it was the only play. And, you know, people have asked me since, did you pull it? Did you mean to hit it that far left? I said, yeah. I mean, I know that I can carry on that line. I stood up, I picked my target, right, and I swung out as hard as I can. I think another thing as well is I know that I don't have a left miss with my driver at the minute. Like, if anything, I miss my driver right. So knowing that,
right,
and knowing I can step up and commit to hitting it down that left side, and if anything, I'm going to miss it right instead of left, that was very comforting as well.
Well, buddy, listen, it was a great win. It was so fun. You're welcome. I think that the luck of the podcast has been a very... I know. It, no, you don't have to thank me, but you're welcome.
Anna was St. Patrick's Day, and
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and I watched the Today Show, and I saw the Guinness champagne thing that you guys did. And
we did that. That's right.
Yeah, and the corned beef hash thing and whatever. That looked good, so... It was nice to have a nice little celebration on St. Patrick's Day.
We were thinking about you. You know, my wife Siri is a cook, and she cooked on the Today Show that day. And we said, in honor of Rory winning and Bono from U2, who, when we went to Ireland with U2 way back in the day, Bono introduced me to this Black Velvet. It's Guinness and champagne. And so we wanted to toast you. And then Siri asked me, she's like, I wonder if Erica dragged Rory to like Disney World after he won, because she's like, your wife's infatuated with Disney.
Yeah, she loves Disney. I mean, her whole family, my in-laws are just, yeah, they're the biggest Disney fans. Fortunately, no. One trip to Disney a year is enough for me. And we did that during Bay Hill. So that's okay.
You're like, look, I won. We're not going to Disney. Buddy, congrats on the win. We're going to rejoin our podcast in progress, and have a great time in Austin, and good luck. It's always good to see you, pal.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Carson.
Want more of the Rory and Carson podcast? Head on over to golfpass.com for exclusive video and behind-the-scenes content.
You know, I always wonder what... I'm a music guy. Like, music is my thing. I grew up in California, and music moves me. I also have... general anxiety disorder. Just to start this podcast off with a bang, I'm just going to come right out. So I have some issues with anxiety that I've had to deal with. Music's been very therapeutic for me. It moves me. When I drink a great glass of red wine, I get chills. When I see the sunset, I get chills. Part of my anxiety just works that way. Mm-hmm. So music is like really important to me, and mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to be in the music business now for 20 plus years. What does music mean to you?
It means a lot to me too. I think anytime you hear, you hear a song from a certain year, or like I hear a song and it takes me back to a time of where I was, if it was in my childhood, growing up.
What did you hear when you were young? What were the sounds in the McElroy house?
Yeah, so...
was it 80s music?
Yeah, so my dad, well, even before that, 70s, like my dad was a big Eagles fan.
Yeah, me and mine too.
Yeah, so...
Fleetwood Mac, Eagles.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac, Eagles.
James Taylor.
Dr. Hook.
Dr. Hook, totally.
Yeah,
oh my God, Dr. Hook.
Sort of stuff. Yeah. So all of that stuff. So that was what, until I was old enough to start to listen to my own music.
Yeah.
That was.
And what did you listen to? Was it stuff on the radio?
It was stuff in the radio. It was a lot of pop stuff. But I started off, so I was a bit of a like skater dude in my sort of early teens. So okay. It was like Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Blink 182, sort of that.
All this was rocky. This is huge American music. Yeah. This was all accessible to you in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. All accessible to me. So that was something. And I spent quite a bit of time over here playing junior golf tournaments. So I was privy to all that stuff.
Did you go to concerts?
Yeah. So
what was your first concert?
50 Cent.
No way.
Yeah.
I am so old.
50 Cent was my
5 millionth concert. That's
50
crazy.
Cent was my first concert.
There was nobody bigger coming out of hip hop. There was no bigger, and you can ask Eminem, there's no bigger debut hip hop album than 50 Cent.
Get Rich or Die Trying.
That album is ridiculous.
Yeah, so that was my,
How did your parents let you go to a 50 show?
That was the CD that like I played when my dad and I were traveling the country, like in Ireland, playing all these junior events. That is the CD I listened to. So my dad knows like every single song.
And was
off
it
that
all
album.
Just explicit?
Yeah, all the expletives entirety. And yeah, exactly. So he
hip hop shows are typically crappy live. People don't. I mean, I don't know how many people listening have been to a lot of. I've been to a million. They're not great. They don't sound as great as the production on the records.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Was it a good show?
I mean, I thought it was a cool show because it was like that was the first ever concert I'd seen, and seeing 50 Cent live in Belfast, it was like this cool thing. Yeah.
And so now, as a professional athlete, when I go to Pebble, that's my only time I'm inside the ropes, and I'm watching all you guys and living vicariously through you as an avid golfer. I always bring my ear pods out and I'm listening to all sorts of stuff. And I wonder, what do guys on tour listen to? Well, let's start with you.
Yeah, so...
And do you listen to music?
Yeah, so like on the range, like if I'm practicing on the range, it's a real eclectic mix of stuff. I mean, it could go from... something like 50 Cent. I mean, hip-hop, even stuff like Bon Iver.
Love Bon Iver.
Coldplay.
Do you make a playlist for the range or... Do you like, if you run, people make a running playlist, or I used to.
Yeah, there's like a
motivational
mix. And yeah, but I don't, if I'm just out there for a couple hours hitting balls, I want something that's pretty chilled and mellow and not too, hypey or, but I literally will listen to anything. I mean, since meeting my wife, Erica, she's introduced me to a lot of different music that she likes.
What does she like?
Yeah, I mean, a whole range of that. My taste in music has become much more wide ranging from meeting her.
Right.
So
well, that's the way it should be, though. I mean, it's like wine or food or,
yeah.
You know, it's good. It's wide open. My 10-year-old is an avid music fan.
Yeah.
And he made a playlist the other day we have like a family iTunes account.
Yeah.
And he was playing, his phone connects in my car, Bluetooth more like quicker than mine does. So he plays DJ when we're driving. He's my 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And he has, and so I was listening to like 6 or 7 songs. And I was like, Jackson, this is awesome. Like, can you send me this? So yeah, in like 2 seconds, he sent me his playlist, which, by the way, and I'm handing it to you right now.
Oh, wow.
So this is my 10-year-old. Read some of those titles.
Middle Child, J. Cole, Low Post Malone, Yes Indeed, Little Baby Drake, Sicko Mode, Travis Scott.
He made this playlist, my 10-year-old.
It's a lot of rap. It's a lot of bad words in those songs.
He's got a little triple X in there. Yeah. But he's got Panic! At the Disco.
Panic! At the Disco. Imagine Dragons.
Loves Imagine Dragons.
Wow. That's your pretty good, your right? Love of music has rubbed off on him already.
So.
I like that.
Do you think about having a family?
I do. Yeah. We're married nearly 2 years. We'd love to have a family one day. I think that's a pretty big ambition of ours, and that's obviously way beyond anything we're doing here, what I'm trying to do out in the course. I mean, that would be the biggest win of my life. You know,
and without getting like too into the personal side of that, how do you negotiate such a personal thing alongside your professional life, which seems like from the outside in, it looks like it would dominate just your calendar, your life, and how do you? Not that you can schedule. I've got a couple of kids that didn't come scheduled. I mean,
yeah,
it's
pretty unpredictable. But life is unpredictable. I think I'm very fortunate, and I'm grateful that I'm in a position that anything that I deem important enough in my personal life, that my professional life can take a backseat for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate. And, you know, some people aren't that lucky to have that. But, you know, there's things that are just way more important in this world than trying to win a golf tournament or whatever. So, you know, if we were lucky enough that day was to come, you know, if my wife were to go into labor the last day of the Open Championship.
We'd do the podcast right there. We'd be there.
Yeah, there you go.
This is Inside the Ropes with Rory. I'd be right there for you.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I'd have
that.
The microphones.
I really.
Ryan would be there. We like the podcast would rate through the roof.
Yeah, this is
the Pitocin. I mean, I don't know if it was losing my dad young, but I love my family. Like, family's like everything to me.
Yeah.
I never thought I was going to do any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I thought about being a Catholic priest for a hot second. I was a radio DJ. I made 15 grand when I was like 22 years old. Like, people think that because they know your name or you're on TV that like you stood in line like American Idol to become famous. I know it's a popular thing to become famous, but like from my generation, I'm Gen X. Like, I just fell into all this crap.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to push your buttons, but like, I love my family, and it's such a. I wish I had started sooner. It's such an important. It's so great.
And
I know the relationship you have with
your
dad.
That's the one thing that people that have had families and had kids. That's probably one of the most common things I hear is, "I wish we would have started sooner. I wish we would have." You know.
Do you have friends that that you talk to about this stuff, or that have kids, or kind of at that place that you are?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are at the same point in their lives where they've just got married and they're figuring out that part of their lives, but. You know, that is obviously the next step.
Are most of your friends on tour? Do you have friends outside of the business?
I've got a lot of friends outside of the business. I think I've got a lot of friends that knew me before all of this. And I think the more friends you can have
hold on to those friends.
Yeah, the better. You know, they know, you know, the cocky little kid that grew up in Hollywood, Northern Ireland, that told everyone he was going to be the best player in the world. And they, you know, they could tell some stories about me that I wouldn't want being told. So,
Ryan, let's book them next
week.
Yeah,
there you go.
Podcast, please.
Episode 3.
Yes. Rory's childhood friends. Tell all.
Want more of the Rory and Carson podcast? Head on over to golfpass.com for exclusive video and behind-the-scenes content.
Well, I grew up with Kid Rock. He was my Sean.
Okay, so I see Kid Rock a little bit down at the Bears Club.
He just had his first hole in one
with Jack watching.
Saw that.
which is pretty cool. So he was part of your entourage.
Kid Rock, Bob, was a DJ. I was a fan of his music. A friend of mine was at Atlantic Records. And this is going back to like 1996 or 7 or 8, somewhere in there, late 90s. And I just started at MTV and had a little show in New Jersey. And long story short, Kid Rock became my DJ on this show, and it gave him some exposure. And then he put out his record, and we became very close friends and still are. But he's the type of guy who can get busted, you know, drunk at a strip club at 3 a.m. and actually sell more records. where I would be like, I gotta get out of here. Like, I'm like America's teenager on MTV. I can't be seen here. So he's got his own lifestyle. But golf was never a part of his life. And I saw him at Riviera during the Open. Tiger and Freddie Couples had a Celebrity Cup, Ryder Cup style event.
Yeah.
And I could not believe it. And it's just same suspects. It's the same. You know, in Hollywood, there's a few guys that are passionate about golf. We see them at Pebble. We see them at some of these pro-ams that we're lucky enough, some of us, to get into. And I saw Kid Rock, and I was like, what are you doing? You don't play golf. And I hadn't seen him in a little while.
Yeah.
And he's like an avid golfer.
Yeah, he is.
He's an avid golfer. And he had his first hole in one. I cannot believe he plays golf.
Rory, do you see him at the Bears Club quite often?
Yeah, I see him. A good bit down there. He lives, he lives right there in Jupiter, and
He
plays all the time, and I see him coming in to eat at the same restaurants,
What's his swing like?
He overcooks his pasta.
Yeah,
as my golf pro would say to my 10-year-old son,
a little loose.
He's a little over and a little loose.
Yeah. But I mean, he's only been playing a couple of years, so if he's got Jack out there giving him a few tips, he's in the right hands.
It's so crazy to see Alice Cooper's another big rock star who's an avid golf fan.
Yeah,
all these guys in music. There's a correlation, definitely. I know Darius Rucker forever. Mm. He loves golf.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of the Pebble guys. Kenny G. I don't know what the correlation has been.
I've played with Kenny before, actually. Kenny is like. Someone that's really into golf, like the biggest golf fan, I would call him like a golf pervert. Like he's perverted.
He had like a simulator before anybody in the private sector had one.
Yeah, he's
in his head.
Really is, yeah.
Kenny and I were paired together at Pebble back when I was in my MTV days. And he's also, aside from being, an avid golfer and a great musician, he's super healthy, healthy guy.
Yeah.
So we're walking down the first fairway, I'm hungover as can be because I'm with my brothers, my sister, my parents, and we're just out late, up early. We're coming down the first tee. I'm like late, like out of a movie, like shoes untied, hit it down the first. We're walking, and here's Kenny G. Hey, Carson, how was your night? And he's real up, and I'm like, oh, it's all right, man. I'm just kind of like coming to. And my mom comes over. My mom hands me a Bloody Mary from the ropes. And at the time, I hate to say it, I'm smoking a cigarette. So here I am, like, I'm like John Daly, like, I'm literally like chugging this Bloody Mary. I'm smoking a heater, first hole Pebble. And here's Kenny G. And he literally, I kid you not, pulls out of his bag, I've got some homemade trail mix. Would you like some homemade trail mix? He's popping homemade trail mix and, drinking like a pressed juice.
Oh,
and I'm just like, how did we get paired? I love it. I mean, we ended up having a good time.
That's so funny.
But yeah, it takes all kinds in golf. That's cool.
It does, for sure.
It does seem like, just getting back to the music thing, I always have a speaker with me. There's one. I have a little Bose that I keep in my bag. I mean, but that's me. I'm in the music business. Like, I have music everywhere I go. And I see it more in the golf courses now. Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, I have a custom cart at my home club, the Bears Club, that has speakers built in.
Right.
I just connect my iPhone, USB.
You play some tunes when you go out there?
Yeah, exactly. Gets a little, so if I go out there and play with Ricky and Justin Thomas, and we've got, Ricky's got some Kygo going on, and I've got some hip hop, and JT's got something else.
Like, guys, we got to get on the same page.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I think it's good. It's good for the game. It loosens everyone up. It makes the game more approachable. If you can, if someone from the outside looking in at golf and being like, okay, if we can go there and we can sort of be dressed a little more casually, and we can listen to our music, and we can sort of have a good time, have a couple beers, that gets people.
Where's the line in the conservative sand, though? I just out of curiosity. Like, I think it's great that golf's loosening up.
Yeah.
But like, as my old man would say, and he was a diehard Catholic, we'd be in church in Santa Monica, which is a beach town, and people would come in for 5:30 mass, like in flip flops, and my father, he's like steam out of his ears.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, Dad, at least thank God they're coming to church.
At least they're
here.
Yes.
Because you'd be bitching if the young people weren't here, and now they do come and flip, and you're upset.
Yeah.
In the game of golf, to protect its conservative sort of nature? Like, where, so music in the carts is okay.
I think music in the carts is okay.
What about these flip-flops like I'm wearing that have spikes underneath them?
It's
like
fine.
The goofy shoes, those are fine?
That's okay, yeah, but I think
it gets... miffs you when you see it on the course?
I think when people don't treat the course with respect, if they're like digging it up or they're not really like a bunker or... Yeah, like Bryson, exactly.
Right.
Or for me from time to time. I'm not going to single Bryson out on that, but we all get angry. But I think that's sort of...
The etiquette, respecting the course.
Yeah, just sort of respecting the other players that are on the course that mightn't be doing what you're doing, but just sort of being mindful that, you know, there's other people here and they're trying to enjoy themselves as well,
right.
And that might be a little bit different.
Right. Have fun, but be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Just don't be an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, golf doesn't tolerate assholes pretty well.
No, nor should it. I was thinking of Baker's Bay, came to mind.
Barefoot.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But they're drinking, they need some rules there.
Yeah.
They do. It's just too, there's too loose. Anyway, so with, I guess, just under 2 weeks to Augusta, we've discussed it in the first podcast that you're of the mindset now that you don't necessarily need to put all the eggs in the Augusta basket and reverse engineer your entire calendar because it can have an effect on putting too much pressure on 1 week. And why would you want to do that? You want to go in every week. And you want to win. You want to put your best foot forward, whether you're – it's like when you meet people. You're going to be as nice as you are to me as you are to if you meet
– Exactly.
A head of state.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, and that's – I've needed to go through that process for the last few years to get to the point where I've realized, you know, I don't need to put all this pressure on myself just for 1 week a year or even 4 weeks a year,
right.
Talking about peaking for the majors and all this.
Right. It's not the Tour de France.
No, I'm going to play between 20 and 25 golf tournaments a year. They should all be of equal importance. I'm going there to try and win them, and I'm going to go through the same routine. I'm going to basically hit the same amount of balls. I'm going to do what I do to make sure that when I tee it up on a Thursday, I'm ready to go. And I'm as relaxed and as loose as I possibly can
be.
Less
stressful.
Because I know that the more relaxed and the more loose I am, the better I play.
Right.
And I've got 10, 11, 12 years of stats and analysis to back that up.
Right. And now you know that. And by the way, the four, they come with their own, if you eat at a great restaurant, the minute you're in there, the ambiance, the smell, you know, you ate a great, if you're at Per Se in LA or wherever you are, they have their own natural heightened ability. So when you come down Magnolia Lane, when you're at these spots, there's a natural height. Like they already prop themselves up.
Exactly.
And you,
so
as an athlete, know you're there.
Yeah.
And you don't have to put any more pressure on it than that.
Exactly. So you already realize you're at somewhere that's pretty
correct.
Special.
It's
so
like playing on Sunday. Sunday. You know,
It is what it is. It's a round of golf. It's
right.
18 holes.
Correct.
The premise is no different. It's you got to go and try and shoot the best score you possibly can, whether that's a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, or Sunday, at Augusta, at Bay Hill, at wherever.
Right.
You know, it's all the same.
So how are you feeling heading into Augusta? Is that
I'm good. My game's in good shape. I'm playing well.
Anything there give you trouble? Any issues with the allergies there?
Yeah, allergies, but I mean, that's
something. It's a silly little thing, but is it a big deal at all?
It's not a big deal, just something I have to be aware of. Make sure that I, you know, I try to eat the local honey a couple of weeks beforehand to sort of
kind of combat
the immunity and all that to it. And then I just make sure I take a Claritin or whatever I can take the day of and just make sure. But it's not. I think a lot of guys struggle with it there for some reason, especially it gets windy. All the pollen blows off those trees and so.
Augusta, obviously for me growing up in the States, you know, it's the creme de la creme. It is what it's a Super Bowl of golf. It always has been, not to mention the rich history of it. How is Augusta viewed throughout the world?
I think it's the same. I think Augusta has become the unofficial kickoff to the golf year, the golf calendar. Even though there's so many great events before that, Augusta is, you know, I played my first Masters in 2009, and after I played, which was a great experience, and I made the cut and I did pretty well, I missed sitting down on Thursday night with my dad and waiting for the theme tune and watching the Masters.
Watching it, wow.
So I played in the Masters, which is a lifelong dream,
right.
But I missed that part of it.
Right.
Which is,
that's,
you know,
crazy.
It's sort of weird, but I think...
But it speaks to what we're talking. It meant that much to you growing up.
You
knew it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think as well, it's the only major championship in golf where we go back to the same course every year. So you remember the shots that people hit on certain holes. Obviously, they've opened the course up, you know, on TV now that you sort of know every hole. But when I first started watching the Masters, all you saw was the back nine.
Yeah.
You didn't see any of the other holes. So, you know, it's like every year they'd maybe let you see the ninth hole, and right. then the next year the eighth hole and the seventh hole, and then
now there's cameras in the locker room.
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you feel that now in golf? I mean, what is it like to just be where you know, not just when you're arguing over a rule or something and you know there's cameras in front of you, but just in general, like there's your cameras everywhere now, even at Augusta.
Yeah, you do, but I mean,
which is great. The website for Augusta, the app is sick. I watch it in the car.
But even for
while
me.
While driving.
I can go back through every single good shot that I've hit at Augusta since 2010 or 11 or whatever it is. And, you know, it's good for me to see that stuff as well. So, okay, well, pin was back left on 11 and I missed it here. I got to make sure that, you know, if you're going to miss it, you miss it in this spot or whatever it is. So, I even, a couple of weeks before Augusta, I go back through all those videos.
You do
on
go
the
back
app.
Through
I do,
huh?
And just sort of refamiliarize myself with course and certain hole locations. And it's, as you said, I mean, that's one of the great things about modern technology is all that stuff.
I was lucky enough to play it once or twice. And I think when I went back home, I told my friends, I was like, the one thing that I really noticed was how undulating the whole terrain was. I never knew that from growing up watching it, even one. Everything seems much more flat than it was when I walked it.
Yeah.
Give me something else for golf fans that surprises you every year about Augusta, just from a golfing standpoint.
So again, the undulate, it's the toughest walk of the year. Like you walk 18 holes at Augusta and you feel it at the end of the day.
The greens.
I think now with, 3D TVs and 4K, they're getting a better idea. And I think that's such the modern world and being able to, to give the fans an experience that they've never had before. That is awesome. But you still, one of my favorite things at Augusta, when you walk out the back of the clubhouse, you're standing on the, under the tree on the back patio there, and you can basically see you can see 9 green, 18 green, down to the second green, down to the seventh green, down to 15, down to you can basically see the entire golf course.
Right.
And it is one of the best vistas.
That's insane.
Yeah, in the game.
Tell me about the importance of juniors in golf. And I saw a great moment with you and two young men, I believe, in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, look, kids are the future of not just this game, but of this world, So I take that responsibility pretty, I don't take it lightly. I'm an ambassador for PJ Junior League as well. And I want to get as many kids playing the game as possible. But it was in particular this one.
Who were those kids in particular?
So it was Hector and Eduardo. They were two brothers, but Hector was the brother that followed me the most throughout the week. And so I got onto the first tee on Thursday and I heard this, "Vamos Rory, vamos Rory." And every single hole he shouted this for 72 holes.
Right.
So after the first day, I'm thinking this kid's got to lose his voice at some point. But he came back on Friday, same thing, Saturday, Sunday. So I just wanted him to know how appreciative I was of his support. And
that's so cool of you. You could have gone the other way. You could have had him kicked out for driving you nuts.
But I mean, he's the son actually of one of the TV personalities down there.
Okay.
And he was inside the media compound on Saturday night, and he asked me what I was going to wear on Sunday. And I said, I think I'm going to wear gray pants and this sort of orange pink top.
Oh, I saw that.
He matched it. To the, I mean, so I had this little mini me running around on Sunday, and then I felt like I played a great tournament. I didn't win the tournament, but
he was crying.
And sometimes guys just play better than you. And that week, Dustin Johnson played better than me. I didn't lose. Dustin Johnson won.
Right.
But he was crying because.
What did you say to that? Because I saw when you put it out on 18, you went right over to him and.
Yeah, he was crying, and
you're like, it's okay.
I hopefully it was a good lesson to the kid as well that, sometimes we can't win all the time, and you have to be gracious in defeat. And, you know, there's some weeks and some days where someone's just a little bit better than you, and you have to accept that and shake their hand and say well done. And so, you know, in a way, I was trying to, you know, give this kid a little bit of a life
lesson.
You just got off
the green. It was so cool that you did that. And I thought Rory's going to be a great father whenever you are a father.
I hope so
one
day.
You can see a lot of that. That was more than just handing a kid a glove on your way out behind the ropes. I mean, you really had some attention to detail in that, and it was very nice to see.
Thanks. I appreciate that. It was, but I mean, I wanted him to know what that meant to me that week. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, because of just that little interaction, you know, that kid is a fan of golf for the rest of his life.
Right. Very cool. Thanks for another great episode. Appreciate it.
That was awesome.
Play well, and I'll see you soon. I'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Want more of the Rory and Carson podcast? Head on over to golfpass.com for exclusive video and behind-the-scenes content.